You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Alan. You look beautiful tonight.
Thank you. I showered this week.
Well, isn't that nice? I actually showered too. And look at my beard. It's really coming in nicely.
I was just thinking about that. I've never seen you with facial hair. You look mighty svelte.
Oh, fucking thanks. I think I'm going to get a lot of, what are the kids? Self-tapes for fucking Hitler now. Some self-tapes.
Give me your best Tevye.
Yeah. Hi, everybody at home, my little Broadway swallowing bitches. How y'all doing? It's day 97 of quarantine, and everything is good here in Queens. Tonight's show is going to be really fucking excited. It's going to be excited? Great. It's going to be exciting. Indoor Boys, I binged it again. I've seen the series, I think, three times in my lifetime. It's so good. And some of my favorite actors, and one that I've never really met in person, Van Cox, is here. And that's really exciting to me. But I'll get into that later. And some of you might know that I got really bored this week and started doing the hashtag astonishing challenge.
I love this.
It's so dumb. And it's just like with the cast of Prom. And basically, right now, I challenge them to stay at home and take singing lessons with the Phantom by doing the last 16 bars of Astonishing. And as promised, I am debuting the video of Izzy with her Astonishing challenge. We might have a bump in this. We don't normally do live casts because we do other things.
Well, like the limitation of the platform says you can only do 30-second clips. So I chop our 60-second clip into two parts.
But it'll be posted on, you know, Insta shit after this. Okay, here we go. Astonishing!
Sing for me! Sing for me! Sing!
Oh, you... Damn it!
Sing for me! Sing for me! Sing!
Oh, you... Oh, okay. Sure. Vanessa's singing a bit.
Sing for me!
Christopher Columbus! I'll be astonishing! Higher?
Sing!
Okay, all right.
Damn it! Sing!
Astonishing! To find the key when you're playing that loud. Astonishing! Oh my god! Stop! At last! Okay, we get it. You look really familiar.
Sorry, I clicked the wrong button.
Yeah, you fucked up a few times. If we weren't in quarantine, I'd hire other producers.
There are gay ones.
Yeah.
Gay people make better producers.
Listen, I'm lonely and these lips are an essential service right now. Okay. But, thank you all for being here. We're getting ready to start the show. Again, all these live casts are free. They are Wednesday nights and Saturday nights at 9 PM. If you would like to support the show, no pressure, but if you would like to, please check out our Patreon. That's patreon.com/JoshSwallowsBroadway. Next Wednesday at 9 p.m., we're going to be doing a little prom party with Caitlin Kinnunen, Izzy Michaela, Courtney Collins, who is playing the Phantom, and Anthony Norman. In the meantime, let's go swallow some of my favorite performers on the planet and people. Bye, Alan. Go away.
Bye. I will add them in and then I will go back.
Yay!
Hi, my babies.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. So in my window, it goes Wesley next to me, right there. And then Carol Lee, right there. And then right there is VN Cox. And right there is Alex Wise. Hi, friends.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Is there something going on in the world?
A lot of self-tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of self-tapes. Today I made 5 for Titanic, and I think I'm going to get them.
Congrats.
Yeah, no, they're all immersive productions on Zoom. Yes, Alyssa, Carolee's hair is still perfection.
I actually took a shower and washed my hair today, so thank you for noticing, Alyssa.
What about my hair?
So if we could just, Wes, if we could just, take that out.
Oh, I like Cindy Lou Who.
Oh, no, I'm keeping it.
I was saying
that. Definitely keeping it.
It reminds me of Bam Bam or one of the, not Fraggle, but what were they called? The Flintstones?
Yeah, Bam Bam. Is it Bam Bam?
It's Bam Bam.
It's pebbles.
Yeah, you're a little pebbles. So, friends, I binged your show again for the third time today. It's really fucking remarkable.
Thank you, Josh.
It's special.
Wes and Alex and Carolee.
So good. I can't take any credit, but
you can take some credit.
I love that Carolee gets her character name. But none of us.
Nobody else does. Because my producer is stupid.
Oh, you did that. You did that yourself.
Yeah.
Oh,
Carolee did that. Oh my God, look at Alan. He's crying. Josh, be nicer to him.
Listen, I normally believe in corporal punishment, but right now I can't hit him from Queens. He's in Brooklyn.
I just love imagining Carolee being like, as a 3-time Tony nominee, like, no one's going to know who I am. I need to like make sure that I put my character name next to my name so people will recognize me.
Exactly.
But you're one of the most important parts. You're one of the most important parts of the entire show.
Aww.
The heart and the pathos.
Oh, she's so good. I love her.
Both of you are.
I'm talking about her like she's not even here. I love her.
I know.
I love her.
Unfortunately, she's dead now.
But her music will live on.
But both of you as the moms, I mean, it was perfect casting, including the little kids that you found to play yourselves. Like that
great,
kid from
right?
Falsetto. I mean, it was spooky how dead on it was, but also how dead on it is as you as the parents, also as with Michael as your father, Michael Kostroff.
Oh, he's so funny.
He's such a genius.
Yeah,
and
he's an amazing actor. So many of the people on everybody who's been on this show is so great. And we're just really thankful that we've had all these awesome people who we look up to and admire and we got to write for them and bring them into this little indoor world. And we all just got to be funny and, you know, do something that felt really special together.
But you guys, it wouldn't be anything without the writing and directing that you guys both did. It's you know, actors, schmactors. We just are only as good as the material.
Well,
I really believe that.
Well,
Josh can tell you about believe.
Oh, God.
What you can do.
There was only so much we could do with that one, huh? She's talking about finding fucking Neverland is what she's talking about.
That's right. That's where Josh and Carolee, where you guys met.
Became lovers.
We met at Harvard. That's what we should say.
Well, at the time, I had this business called the Naughty Nanas where I would cross-stitch horrible things that would say, like, go fuck yourself or, like, you are the C word. Like,
oh,
you
yeah,
are.
I remember that. I remember
but it would look
that.
Really beautiful.
Yeah.
And the first conversation that I think I had with you was during one of the 8,000 workshops of that show. And you sat down with me. And I was making a beautiful, beautiful one with bunnies and hearts that said, you are a C word. And you were like, well, that's really beautiful. You make many of those. And I was like, you don't know this cross-stitch. You don't know a thing.
Oh, my God. Which just reminds me of one of the days that we were on set, just you singing that. Reminds me of one of the days we were on set and we had like a little technical snafu and we had some time to kill. And Alex was like, because there were a few people on our crew who were.
It was the last day of filming.
It was the last day. And there were a few people like our sound op, Vera, and there was our best boy, this guy, Ryan, who didn't know everyone in the cast. They didn't know their careers. And we thought it would be really fun to play for all the non-theater people in the room. Everyone's like music, everyone's cast album sort of highlights. So we went through the cast and we're like, this is Carolee, this is Krista, this is Isaac, this is, and we just like went through the cast and like exploited their music. And
we did a long distance call.
Thank God, I was about to.
Oh, that's nice.
It's your new southern daughter. It's Rose. Everything's fine here, I suppose.
Vian?
Yes?
I've told this story on the show so many times, so people at home, suck it. when that was running in New York, I had no money. I was living in a shit box. Literally, the bathroom ceiling caved in, and I got the super to come to the apartment, and I was like, you have to fix this. And he was like, I don't see a problem. And I was like, the ceiling's not there anymore, sir. And he's like, yes, it is. That was how they were dealing with it. I was working three jobs. It was a nightmare. And I would have my CD Walkman with me because I spent like some of the last dollars I had to see Carolina Change. Oh, like again. And I totally, because I don't know if you know this, but I am a single Black mother of four children. No, I'm not. But I was so angry and it really did touch me in so many ways. And I also view it as like a Sondheim piece where it takes theater and it pushes it forward.
Yeah.
It moves it, it elevates it. And that Tony year, I was very upset. But anyway, I would be on the subway and I'd be like, take Joshua away. I can't afford him.
You know, Tanya, she made us all feel like a mother of four in the South as a maid. She gave such a powerful performance that she made us all understand what that felt like, I thought.
Yeah.
The show is, I'm so blessed.
It's God. Perfect. But they're blessed too, because you took a part that was so extraordinary, that was so hilarious, but it wasn't like the comedy relief. It was just this poor woman trying her best. And that scene when you're like, when you have that like flip out in your head and you're like, Miss Krabby Appleton, I don't know what's killing you. Just trying to be friendly. It was just so wonderful. I was, Casey Levy was on the show the other day, who I fucking love. And we were talking about, because she's playing the part in the revival, how hard it was for her to go from Elsa singing to this show. Mm-hmm. And it gave me endless laughter for about 2 days running around my apartment being Elsa as Rose Stopnick.
Oh, God.
You know, like, hello, Blit, it's me, Rose. You know, it just, I don't believe in women kids.
Well, she's wonderful. It wouldn't be able to happen the other way around for me though, because I certainly couldn't. Can you imagine?
Yes.
Me singing Frozen. Yes. Hello. Yes.
I would love to see
that. Let's hear it right now.
Oh my God.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
If you're not the next Elsa, like here in New York, not on tour, I want you in New York because I want to be friends. And I've actually rewritten Carolina Change, but now it's about me. It's like, I got two cats, I quarantined, I had two cats. Anyway, it's really good. And then my ring light comes to life because of all the self-tapes. You know, it's... I don't have any self-tapes. I'm just
it's like, what jobs are you auditioning for right now?
Or like, I had to do a self-tape. I'm like, for fucking what? For what?
Listen, I've never been happier in my life to not have to do any self-tapes. I'm thrilled. I'm so thrilled.
Today was the first day that I felt like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. Like, I woke up on day 87 and I was like, wait a minute. I don't have to do anything. It was nice.
Don't get me wrong. I'm very upset for our community that we no longer have opportunities.
It's horrific.
We
have to.
But it is pleasant to not have to put myself on fucking tape, which I don't like. I don't like. And I don't get jobs.
I don't think anyone does. No. I think they mock us.
Yeah, it's just
it's just for their fun.
Yeah, no, really they make us do it so they can delete it, so they cannot watch it. That's the idea, I think.
Right.
I'm kidding.
I sort of want to start a casting company. Alex knows this about me because I think we FaceTime quite often and it's healthy. But I just want people to do Bella's monologue in Act 1 and Act 2 from Lost in Yonkers for me.
So important.
Everyone. I want everyone to do it.
Let's hear some of it, Josh, because I know you have it in you.
Do you know what it's like to touch steel, Mom?
That happened. That
it's
went
hard,
into that way too
and
fast.
It's cold. And I want to be warm and soft with my babies. Let me have babies because I gotta have something that'll love me back before I die. Gert, tell her how happy that'll make her. Louis, J. Otto, you said that you backed me up. Mama, let me have babies. Hold me, somebody hold me.
Oh my God.
I even got a little tear going. Yeah, Equity works. Make a donation to the Actors Fund if you like that. Monologue. And by Actors Fund, I mean my Venmo.
If Alan's recording this, you could actually use that as an audition, you know.
Good idea.
Self-tape done.
Yeah. Wow. It's a new production. They're like, we're looking for a fat Jewish male to play Bella. It's very edgy. And we're looking for musicians to play Gert and Louis. They will not speak. And we are looking for blind actors to play Jay and Artie, and you know, and we are looking for a toddler without limbs to be grandma.
Oh God, Josh, you're just, you know, no stone left unturned, really.
I'm a wonderful person, and we are going to be dear friends. As a matter of fact, I'm next door. Just
kidding. It's so warm in here now.
Where are you, Josh, actually? Where
I live
in
Woodside, Queens.
Oh,
so I'm at home.
Okay.
Where's your cat?
They're sleeping in the guest room where I've been sleeping. My therapist says that's normal right now. So, yay.
Why is that?
I really don't know. At first, my cats were sleeping in there. And one night I was like super sad. And kids at home, my loves, right now when you're feeling super sad, you're fucking nailing it because things are scary right now. So when you feel sad, don't feel bad about it. Feel sad. That's totally cool. So I was feeling sad and I was like, I want to sleep with my fucking cats because I need cuddles. And right now I can't put them down and get new ones. And so, you know what I mean? Exactly, Alex. So
what would this quarantine be without those cats?
It would be really fucking hard.
I have no cats. I don't have anything.
Yeah. And VN, you don't watch TV. When I went to your apartment, I was gobsmacked by the fact that there's not even a television set at all.
That's wonderful.
No, I really enjoy staring at the ceiling.
I mean, my entire apartment is a television. Like, all I do is television.
No, I mean, I have an internet, obviously, because that's where I'm coming to you from. And
are you Netflixing and chilling?
Yeah. I read the New York Times. I listen to NPR.
You can't read the New York Times and listen to NPR all day, though, you know?
No, you can't. You can't. So this is what I'm doing. Oh God, I can't believe I'm sharing this. It's not
share it,
please.
Puzzles, yes.
Okay. I'm doing a puzzle with 100 reindeer that look exactly the same, and I could kill my sister for giving me this puzzle because the coronavirus has taken a second place in my frustration.
Yeah,
but seriously, it's taken over my the Carolee,
what about you? What are you doing to pass out?
My laptop is sitting on a stack of puzzle boxes right now to give it a little light.
Okay. We've gone
through, my kids are here, so I have some help and I have some people to cuddle with. We love the puzzles. Yeah. And I have to say that, you know, we're so lucky as actors, even though we don't have work right now, but we're used to this kind of periods of nothingness.
Yeah.
At least I am. I don't know.
Yeah, I've rehearsed this for years.
Yeah. I've said the same thing. Like being an actor, I feel like we've all practiced that. We've all lost jobs so many times. We've all done nothing for extended periods of time. So I know this is unimaginably terrible what's happening right now, but at least I feel like we've sort of built up some of the tools with which we can deal with parts of it.
Yeah, we also know that things do come back. Things take time and we can't see the future, but they do. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can spread that to other people in our lives that are not used to the experience of, you know, just having to marinate in the I always say, like, when one door closes, another opens, it's just hell in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And right now we're in a very long fucking hallway. And, you know, that's uncomfortable and that's totally okay.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Are you all like FaceTiming a lot?
So Alex and I meet once a day to write. And that's something that, like, I'm not saying that to brag about our productivity. Saying it like when Broadway shut down, I mean, coronavirus has been a thing for months now, but when Broadway shut down was like the first time I felt like within our community and in New York, it felt like this is going to affect all of our lives. This is a game changer. This is a moment. And Isaac came down. By the way, hi, I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina, calling in from his parents' house in the country.
Would you tell him that we said hi?
What?
Would you tell him that we said hi?
I will, obviously. Mm-hmm. He escaped down here as soon as Broadway shut down, and Assassins was still in rehearsals for like another week or a handful of days before we shut down. And then I just grabbed a rental car and came down here. But that first week I felt paralyzed by, like, I couldn't stop watching the news and I couldn't focus on anything other than what was happening in the world. And Alex was like, all right, it's time to, let's get to work. You know, let's use this time. Let's capitalize on this. I was resistant at first. I was just like, I need to be able to just sit here and be in this. Like, I was resisting productivity because I felt like, I don't know, I wasn't ready for it, you know. But then I finally met up with him one day on FaceTime, and we haven't stopped really since. It's been every day for about 3 hours. We're writing a new project. And that 3 hours a day is like very significantly helpful for my mental space and my sense of peace. And, but also that is also to say that, like, you don't have to write and you don't have to be productive, and it is very okay to sit in, take stock of your life and gain perspective and sit in the stillness like that, that everyone should be doing that.
Babe, like you run your own journey, and yeah. I'm so glad I'm not Isaac, because remember when we went played fiancés in Little Miss Sunshine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were busy with, it could be worse, and I have to write it and produce it, and I just wanted hugs. I just wanted to play. I wanted to show you my characters.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of characters. I call it spirit. Spirit comes to me, and yes. you get to meet my characters. And yeah. Alan, is there a picture of me trying to get Wesley to play with me?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Oh.
Yeah.
That was pretty much every day.
That was every day.
Yeah.
I was very lonely during that run. You know that.
Yeah.
And that's why it didn't work. Yes.
Yeah,
and that's why it didn't work.
That's why we didn't go to Broadway.
That's why I didn't go to Broadway, because they didn't believe the secondary characters were involved romantically. You understand?
Sure. Well, we were, to be fair, we were involved romantically.
We were indeed.
Yeah.
Because we're professionals. And that's what people do. That's what people do. So how did Indoor Boys fucking start? Like, how did you two meet?
So Wes and I knew each other socially through the theater scene for many years. But then we were both in Los Angeles in 2017 doing different projects. And we started hanging out more regularly and kind of realized, oh, we have a really great rapport, and we should make something. We're both creative people. We tried. Basically, Wes brought me this sketch that he had written for something else, and we kind of turned it into what became the pilot of Indoor Boys. We didn't know if this was going to be just like a standalone sketch or what it was, but we made this, you know, 4-minute short, and we had a really great time making it. And then we thought, what if we made another? And we just kind of kept going. So we were a little directionless at the beginning, just trying to figure out reasons that we could like get our friends in a storyline with us. And then as it went, it kind of took on a shape, and we were able to flesh out the world and bring in these two three genius actors that we have here.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, for those of you who don't have, for those of you who haven't seen season three, Josh makes a ridiculous cameo that basically steals the season.
That's not true. Well, but it is a ridiculous cameo.
I think that your 2 hours on set, or an hour and a half or whatever, were perhaps the most I laughed in the entire 8 days.
That's
a lot to me.
I mean, we have some videos. I mean, I still have some videos saved on my phone of us filming your coverage behind the cameras and just us like crying laughing.
Yeah, I have a photo on my phone of just Wes on the floor laughing while we were editing.
That sounds right. That sounds
here
right.
Here it is. Here it is. This is a photo. This is a photo of Wes.
That's when we were editing you. That's when we were going through all of your takes.
Oh my gosh.
So I guess
I'm impressed though, because I've got so many wonderfully talented friends, and I have never once met up with them and said, you know, we should make something together. We should write something. We should do a series. Like it never occurs to me. I think it's so amazing that you
can. There's also something that Alex and I share in that we are sort of obsessed with actors, like other actors. And we constantly talk about our peers in a way that we're like, what can we write for them? Just like, because we want to see them in certain capacities, you know?
That's honestly the reason that the three of you are in this. Each one of your roles was written specifically for you. And what can we do to get them in this series and work with them? That's what we want.
And I didn't know Vianne, and Alex didn't really know Carolee, but we had both worked with the other, and so we both had suggested the other for each other's moms as it worked out. So.
Well, hey, Alan, there are some incredible clips of Carolee and Vianne. Could we see them in action? Because I just love them.
Well, I just want to say to our two moms, hi, guys.
Nate, remind me where the bed bedroom is?
Why?
I need to refold your clothes.
Oh, yes, naturally.
So, as I'm sure you've probably gathered, you'll be living with a gay couple. Oh, what gave it away? He says it was the picture of Laura Dern in our Craigslist ad.
Laura Dern.
Is she a gay?
So, walk me through what you like to do in the shower.
Nathaniel, dear. Why, my figure resembles Vivien Leigh's. My bones are as brittle as a Fabergé egg. And this morning, I reached a rather difficult passage in my novel.
Oh, you're writing a novel?
Rewriting one. Oh, Jonathan Franzen could use a woman's touch.
Oh my God. Alan, where's the one of Carolee doing yoga?
Oh God. That is
yes, so it's so funny.
Oh, it's my favorite. Oh,
well.
I'm getting there. I got it.
Luke, can we talk?
We're in the zone.
Which zone?
The ozone.
That makes no sense.
It's our mantra.
I'll show you how we thought of it. Oh. Because it's not like an ozone like the atmosphere.
I get it.
Your mom's a beast.
Because when I stretch, I go, oh!
Yeah!
And it goes on and it continues to be funny for like 10 minutes.
It's so
we knew each other before we filmed that scene.
It's so brilliant.
Oh, so good. Their relationship. Well, us, all of the relationships in the thing are just so beautifully rendered. But I do have to say, the two of you just kill me. Y'all's relationship is just incredible.
You're talking about Wes and Carolee?
Direct
for that. You're talking about Wes and Carolee's relationship? Yeah.
Wes, throughout. I mean, throughout.
The director for that scene.
We did not have one for that. But, I think our bond goes beyond. Yeah, we've done. Well, there was one time in season two, I think we were, the scene is over, but you keep the camera rolling just in case anything happens.
The thing where you kiss.
And there was one moment where I'm supposed to be flirting with his mom. I see her for the first time in years. It was the first Luke and Ellen scene. And we just like, after the scene was over, we just started kissing. Like it just felt right. You know, didn't make it into the show.
Next season.
No, yeah.
It's in the blue.
You and Carolee, Wes, what did you and Carolee do together? I forget.
A little show called The Addams Family back in 2010.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. I knew that. And Wes
with Nate Lane.
With a Nate Lane, with a Joe Lane. Yeah. His real name is Joe, you know.
Yeah, I know. Not really, but yeah. Joe and Vian, how do you know Alex?
Hey, real quick, guys, I also have the clip of Josh.
Oh, yay!
So I gathered this. Watch this.
It's been a long time since I've been touched by anyone. And being adopted, you can imagine, I have abandonment issues. I said, there, it's out on the table. We're going to get to know each other, so you might as well know now. Now, the thing about my body, it has movement in it. And I have love to give people.
At least it's not the really crazy stuff, huh?
I picked the one that was where you weren't talking about like
crazy. Identifying as a baby.
As a baby.
Or like shitting in the shower. I was like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, folks at home, if you really want to see those parts, I can't wait for you to binge it. And you really because it's a great show.
Reel. I mean, Josh is the star of the blooper reel.
Totally.
Oh my God.
You and Kathy Fitzgerald.
Oh God. Oh,
genius.
It was
genius
just another
one.
Genius.
The book club scene.
I mean, Kathy also had the entire set in stitches when we shot the book club scene. She was just outrageous.
The actress that, Patrika, is that her name?
Patrika Darbo.
Yes. So I know Patrika cause we were on Bold and Beautiful together. And so I, yeah, no, please stop. and so she was, we were in like every scene together on that show, and she was funny and kooky and Southern. And so Wes and I were like, how do we fit this wonderful, wonderful person into our world? So she's also been yet another joy of this whole process for 3 years.
Now, this is probably a dumb question. She's in LA, so how did you film her for the third season?
And to answer your next question, yes, she was in Speed 2 Cruise Control. just I want to get that out of the way. we filmed before I came to, I was living in LA when we shot season 2. So we shot her in Los Angeles before I flew over to shoot. But then for season 3, we did it literally on Skype. We filmed her on Skype and then just, you know, had her say lots of different lines and edited them into the show in different
ways. So it's just like now.
It's like now. Yeah. We were really ahead of your time. Yeah. We were just, you know,
ahead of your time.
Now we're all indoor people. So,
you know, sorry.
No, Vian, go.
You want to know how I was ahead of my time?
Yes. Yes.
My first dream ticket, just moving into politics for 2 seconds.
Just 2 seconds.
My first dream ticket. Was as odd as it sounds, it was the first one, and it was
Elizabeth Warren and Andrew Wang.
Warren and Yang was my first dream ticket. And now, being, you know, foreseeing the future, we're going to have to have national health care, and they're giving away $1,000 a week to everybody in the country. So, I mean, it's exactly what they would have gotten if we hadn't gotten the coronavirus.
You should be president.
Yeah, come on.
I agree.
I would vote for you, President Cox.
Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I've always said if I were queen, things would be different.
Well, could we get Pinkins on your ticket or Kushner?
Yes.
Kushner.
Yeah, Tony. No, I've always said
that. Atone Kushner.
I thought you meant Michael Kushner.
No. I've always asked him to run for president.
Oh, wow.
Tony Kushner?
Yeah, I told him. I said, you must run for president. He's truly a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
I met him once, and it was a very intimidating experience, not because of him, because of me, because I was like... Hi, you're Tony Kushner, and your brain is more valuable than many others, and yeah. I worship the candy-coated ground that you walk on.
It is really hard. I think that you really shouldn't. You should try your hardest when you meet your heroes to pretend like they're not your hero, because it really does. It ruins any chance of you to have a friendship with them if you tell them the truth about how you idolize them. Like, I have had this experience over and over again. It happened with Norbert Leo Butz. Then it happened with Christian Borle. And then it happened with Alan Cumming. And finally, I was just like, okay, I'm going to pretend like I hate these people so that I can not scare them away with my fandom, you know?
Happened with me, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Took me a long time.
To this day, Carolee, you won't speak to Wes.
Yeah, no, I'm
so honored. Thank you so much.
I've met some people that I've idolized, and I was like, oh, meeting them was a mistake. I still love their art, but, you know, and it's also not on them. Like, I don't know what their life is in that moment, but I met Nathan Lane a bunch during prom because of Brooks. And every time I met him, like at Brooks's Sardis unveiling, I was like, hey, Nathan, good to see you again. I was like, oh, Brooks said this. And you could tell that, like, he didn't want to talk to anybody, but he didn't mind talking to me in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, hey, Nathan, how you doing? He'd be like, oh, hey, Josh, how are you?
Yeah.
And I was like, I broke through.
Mm-hmm.
You talked to him like a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I talked to him like a boozing, you know, smoking, walking corpse. No, I just. Though Tanya Pinkins, I did geek out a little bit on, and she was very cool. She was like, yeah.
She's like, yeah, you're right.
Very much. I just went over to her house and had a glass of wine not 2 weeks ago.
Do you sing songs from Carolina Change together?
Yeah, we do.
Did you come over with, like, some like cookies from Starbucks and be like, Carolyn, there's extra food.
Cook stuff, cabbage.
Well, I did bring cookies. I did. And wine. I brought her a bottle of wine and some cookies.
Imagine if those characters got shit-faced in that production together. Oh, just shit-faced. Like, Stuart's being a dick. Hey, Caroline, come drink with me on the porch. If Noah is going to fucking kill us all.
Okay, that would be funny, actually.
That would be funny.
Yeah. Is this now the time where I admit that I don't know Caroline or Change? I never saw your performance. I never heard the album.
Oh, no.
I'll get Wes off the call.
You might as well just take me.
Well done, Alan.
All right, well, we don't have to talk. Wesley,
come back.
Oh, my God, that was good, Alan. Or did Wesley, did you do that?
Yeah, it was all orchestrated. I texted Alan. He got me out. And then...
No. We don't have to talk about that anymore. We can talk about something else. Like,
have you guys ever done one of those geek out at an audition? Because I did that once and like totally embarrassed myself.
Tell the story. Tell it.
Tell the story.
Yeah, tell the story.
For Bells Are Ringing Broadway, which I did not get.
I didn't get it.
I wanted to do it so badly, and I had done it in LA, and I just was desperate to get that role. And I walked in, and Compton and Green were there, and I just burst into tears because they were introducing everybody at the table, and I was like, I just wanted to say that you guys are so amazing. I just like totally blubbered for about a minute, and they were like, okay. Do you want to sing your song now? Get it together and do my audition, which probably is why I didn't get it.
Are you serious? But then they did see you do what you do, which is like...
I didn't care because they already had...
Oh, fuck them. Yeah. You know what? I didn't even like their shows. Their shows are gay. Carolee, didn't you like...
What? Oh, sorry.
No.
Okay.
No, I want to hear what you did.
Oh, I did that once. I was at my final callback for a project, and I walked in, and I had not been informed of this in advance, but Stephen Sondheim was sitting behind the table, which I was not ready for.
Oh. How can you be?
I mean, maybe if I had known before, I could have braced myself just a little bit more.
He's so good at making people feel comfortable.
Yeah. It's so warm.
Yeah, well. But he, I did my audition. I got through. I did fine. But then at the end, I was like, well, thank you all so very much. And it was really a pleasure to join you.
Was that for Into the Woods?
And so I just, I ran out of the room, like in tears, like at the end of the audition. I was so overwhelmed by the experience.
He's one of those people where he is really great. And he's fucking funny, but he's still Stephen Sondheim. Yeah. And it is just impossible to not treat him like he isn't.
Yeah. I mean, I just met him for the first time. And yes, I was around him a lot during the West Side Story. He was always coming around and talking to Isaac. And I felt like this is not my moment. I'm not going to try to, you know, take this moment from Isaac, you know, like I'm just going to stand in the background and watch.
Oh, I would have been like, hey,
hi. No, I waited until, you know, day one of Assassin's rehearsal. And he comes in. And the thing that happens when he enters a room is the entire collective energy shifts. Mm. It just does. Like the people's even if people are pretending like they don't care who Stephen Sondheim is, everyone's body adjusts and people shift. And it's because we're in the presence of our Shakespeare, you know, our modern day, you know, Shakespeare. And actually John Doyle calls him Stephen Shakespeare. It's just because it's true. And I went up to him. Sometimes when I'm really nervous, I have this false sense of confidence. It's something about me. Like when I'm really nervous, I just like act cocky.
No.
Yeah.
You're not my baby.
Yeah.
Not my baby.
I mean, it's gotten me in trouble, like with cops and things, authority. I start putting on this very false swagger. Anyway,
Wes, you should tell.
Which one?
The cop story.
I want to hear a cop story.
But it will continue.
It's not very appropriate. The cop story that I'm thinking of is not appropriate. But
on a show called Josh Swallows Broadway?
But it's okay. There are kids on here. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so I just like walked right up to him, and I just like we took a 5-minute break, and I like beelined to Stephen. I was like, it's just an honor to meet you, and I'm just very. And he's like, who are you playing again? And I was like, Giuseppe Zangara, and he's like, oof, careful, watch your voice. That is high and loud. So I'd be careful. And he walked away.
Oh, shit.
And he just like walked away, which I felt like, oh, no pressure.
Yeah. We met a lot. Like he was backstage at Into the Woods, like all the time. And he was so kind and sweet. And then I did this gala in Philadelphia for the Arden Theater, one of my favorite regional theaters. If you're in Philadelphia, Arden, when this is over, go see shows at the Arden Theater. You will not regret it. Mm. And they were honoring him, and he was there with Jason Robert Brown. Mm. And I got to sing for him, which was thrilling. And then afterwards, I was like, hey, Steve, like we did Into the Woods together. And he, after meeting a million people, he went, if you say so. And I was like, can we get a picture? Because I still have an Instagram, you know.
Did he take the picture with you?
Of course. Okay. He's lovely, you know. He's just old, and you know, he's like,
I taught one of my favorite memories.
Don't do that face, John.
That's my impression.
One of my favorite experiences in New York, it's very good of him. It's actually a really good impression. Is that, you know, I remember one day being, you know, walking from somewhere and some horrible audition. And I just saw him walking down the street in his rumpled and hunched and shuffling. And I just wanted to cry out. Nobody knew who he was, completely anonymous. And I just wanted to say, I just wanted to scream at everybody, that's David Sondheim! Don't you know? You should be bowing to him. And he just, I just watched him walk. And I just.
Was that before or after Company?
It was after. It was many years after. I just.
Oh, I wish you would have. And then you would have been like, pardon me if everybody's there, because if everybody's there, it would have been great.
No, it was wonderful.
If you say so.
Vian, was that like that role, especially now that it's played by dudes, is now like an official dream role? How it's also the thing that like I have nightmares about it, even though I've never even sung it in my living room. Mm-hmm. How did you do it? That's a lot of words, and they come very fast. Was that scary? Was that easy? Was that fun? Was that all of it?
No, it was just practice. It was just practice.
I love you.
And I can't really sing. So not really. Uh-uh.
Yeah, Vian, I'm looking at the comments. You guys know there's comments coming on the right on the live comments section, and this someone I just read says Can Vian talk about Cinderella with Bernadette, Whitney, and Brandy?
Oh, yeah.
Falling in love with love is falling for make-believe.
Well, I've been so lucky, haven't I? I've just been so friggin' lucky.
All of these squares have been lucky.
I hadn't been. I don't know what I'd be thinking about right now in all of this. I just live in the past now, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
No, but talk about it. Talk about Brandy and Bernadette, and we all want to know.
And then we're going to do this with Carol Lee too. Don't think you're off the hook, Carol Lee.
It was a long time ago. It was so, you know, here's the thing that I loved about it is that I was able to be theatrical on TV.
Yeah.
You know, so often you have to like make yourself small and not funny, not as funny. And it was very much like, I mean, I have to say it brought back that, prepared me for Indoor Boys, because I think Indoor Boys has allowed me to be theatrical and funny. Mm-hmm. Just like Cinderella. And that's what was wonderful about it, because it was truly embraced theater on TV. And I think it was very valuable to society. I mean, to the children that grew up with it, people still come up to me and just say that was just It changed my life.
Yeah.
It's the only production of Cinderella that I recognize. True story. No offense, but it's true.
My daughter, who's in the next room, she might hear me talking about this, but we have a family story about it because she, it was one of the first times she actually sat through a long program on TV without getting up. And she was just rapt. She was about 2 years old. And when you guys took a commercial break, which was like the intermission, she burst into tears and started screaming because she thought it was over. And she was like pointing at the TV like, what's the matter? We couldn't understand what was happening. This two-year-old was having a breakdown and she just didn't want it to end. And then
that's your impact, Vianne. That is your impact.
That was that once again, just like y'all, just like Indoor Boys, it was the show. I was just lucky enough to be in it. I swear to God, that shut. It was so beautiful. And it was also totally colorblind, which
That was one of the first times, especially on television, that they
it was one of the first times where nobody apologized. Nobody said, oh, well, this is, it was just accepted. It was just that's what it was.
Yeah. And Whoopi and Jason Alexander were a good couple.
Yeah.
Wait, no, they weren't a couple. It was Whoopi and somebody else.
It was Whoopi and Victor Garber.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason Alexander was like Princess Giving a Ball.
Me and Natalie Dissell were sisters.
Yeah.
I mean.
Do you have any memories of Whitney Houston that you could share with us?
Well, you know, God rest her soul. I only met her once on the set.
Okay.
And she came over and she introduced herself. She was stunningly beautiful. And she just said, you know, it's so nice to meet you. Thank you for doing this. You're doing a beautiful job. And, you know, I was awestruck, you know, and I said, thank you so much for the opportunity. And she was very dear and sweet. And that was it. That was all I had with her. Cause I didn't shoot at all with her and she really wasn't on set very much.
That's beautiful.
Now, Carolee, a lot of people are asking about you and Sweeney Todd. Your performance in that I was lucky to see multiple times.
So good.
And what was it like performing for Stephen Sondheim in like 30 square feet?
I was thinking about that when you guys were talking about him because he came to some of the cast was brand new the night he came because it originated with the British sort of foursome that came over to start it. But then Norm Lewis and I and a couple of other principals started and he was there on the first night. And you know how small that theater was. And we all obviously knew he was there. And we had to walk around in the theater space before the show started. So I was a nervous wreck. And you know, we had 3 weeks rehearsal for that show, which is ridiculous. And Norm lost his voice and went out at intermission that night. And the understudy who had never been on was taking over for act two. And I was with him at intermission. I was like, don't worry, I'll help you if you get in trouble. I was like, what am I talking about? I don't know.
Oh my God.
I have no clue. I've never done act two, but we got through it.
Not enough lorazepam in the world.
Carolee first laughed when you brought, when I said how good she was in Sweeney Todd, because, well, I actually forgot for a moment, but I went to see her show and I got food poisoning like that day. And it was manifesting like 2 hours before the show for the first time. We had met for dinner and we got sushi like a block away from your theater. And it just like, I was like, oh, what's happening? And I was like, I'm going to go to the restroom. But the restroom was downstairs and I didn't make it there. I destroyed that restaurant.
Oh no.
I threw up everywhere. And Carolee is, you know, she's a mom. Like, she is a Broadway star, but she is, like, such a nurturer.
Of two incredible kids.
And she is, like, on her hands and knees, like, cleaning up my vomit. I'm sorry, but it's true. Like, she was, it was just unbelievable. And I tried to, I think we walked to a Duane Reade to get, like, some Pepto or some, like, anti-acid thing so that I could see the show. Because I was, like, I was only in town. I was living in LA at the time, and I was only in town for a couple of days. So, like, this was the night I was going to see Sweeney Todd, and it was all planned, and like I was not going to miss it. But oh, I was babe. Like upchucking like crazy. And
at least it wasn't Dookie, because that I nobody she sure wouldn't clean up your Dookie.
Well, you underestimate.
No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't do that.
You under. She loves me.
Nobody's going to clean up your Dookie. She would clean I shared a dressing yes, room with you and your guests.
You would clean up my Dookie, Carolee.
I would.
Yeah, she would.
Listen,
basically.
Listen.
What?
You know, it's all very nice that you went to see your show throwing up. I went all the way to Buffalo to see Carolee's play Hello Dolly last week.
We went to Philly.
It closed the day that I went up there to see her show.
No.
So then I threw up all over the place.
Yeah. That's what happens when you go see Carolee. You just end up throwing up.
No, I would clean up your throw up, Fian, and Dookie.
That's so sweet. All I got to see was Carolee's name on top of the marquee.
That's a lot, though, because that means a lot to me.
I know.
And the end of my story is that I didn't make it. So basically what I'm saying is that I watched the first act of her glorious performance. And it really was a phenomenal performance. But
that whole hour, you were like, I got to go.
Yeah. And then intermission, I was vomiting in the bathroom, and she was, you know, I was like, I need to go. And
but we both missed Carolee's show.
I missed half of it, yeah. And I had dated someone in the show, and I was like, he's gonna think this is because of him.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was a rough night.
Well, that's why I'm surprising you, all of you, that this isn't a 1 hour thing. This is a 5 hour thing. And we're going to be doing Sweeney Todd together. Okay. Alan, bring in the live orchestra. I'm just kidding. That would be awful.
I love the Matilda pose.
Yeah, it's disco Sweeney Todd. We all are going to put Molly in our bottoms and our bum bums, and we are going to party to Sweeney.
By the way, I love Alan's little cameos. Little like.
Alan has become one of my best friends. He's like a brother to me. I'm older than him, but he's like the. Right? I'm older than you, right?
I dip down under. I got the.
I know.
He's like, you treat me like shit. You hit me.
There we go.
You actually hit me.
My wounds have just healed.
Listen, fuckface. Are you advertised on the live show? No. Black out your box.
Right. Oh, wrong button. There we go.
Oh God, I hate techies.
Terrible. I like them.
You're just saying that because you're gonna work again. I've decided to end my career and only do podcasts. Which means I'm going to die soon. Oh, God. Darkness.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. But good news, everybody at home, in all realness, the five of us are going to be doing a live stream production of Lloyd Collins tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to benefit my Venmo. And
to raise awareness for his Venmo.
And I mean, the Actors Fund is great. No, in all seriousness, with that said, the Broadway community comes together twice a year to. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
Before we start the third act.
Honestly, you should do one of those like Broadway hand washing videos where they sing the song, but you're just like, every year. Broadway cares comes together, like just a speech to raise money.
Every year, the Broadway community comes together to raise money for Broadway cares. y'all, thank you so much for not only like rewatching your series brightened my life so much again today, like, and also it's just so well crafted the way that. I don't want to give things away, but like I texted you, Alex, I got so angry at the end of season 2 again, angry. And but also like angry at Wes's character, yet still in love with Wes's character. And VN, like Carol Lee, the moms of this show were just like the craziest moms, the funniest moms, but also the moms that you wish you had. No, no, mom, I love you. I love you, mom. Yeah. No, not you, mom. I love you. I miss you, mom. She's in San Diego. Hey, mommy.
I had so much fun doing the show. Carol Lee and I had so much fun. It was just a glorious experience. It made me understand, you know, why I wanted to do this business.
Yeah.
You boys are so talented. I never stop being impressed by the writing, the directing, the editing that you do by yourselves. I mean, like, I will never be able to understand.
Thanks, mama.
You're so talented.
Yeah, because y'all, like, have to lock yourselves away for weeks to edit everything 24 hours a day.
Yeah, it was, like, some of the hardest we've ever worked in our lives, I would say. Would you agree, Alex? Yeah.
That's nutty poo.
But it's worth it. It's fucking worth it. I mean, honestly, and you know, with Carol Lee and Vianne, it's like a dream to write for because they come on set and they're like, I don't know if Ellen would do that. And like, that's everything that we want.
No,
that came out wrong. I just mean like, it was such a collaboration. I mean, it was, you elevated our material. You really did. You said a lot of kind things about us tonight, but like, both of you have this way of owning your character so completely. And then you start to have like you love them and you start to stick up for them. Mm-hmm. Like, and that is the most exciting thing for us as writers, is like being able to create something and then you take it to the next place. And, you know,
but you allowed it, which is, you know, the artistic collaboration was just glorious.
Yeah.
And the money was good.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome for that second home.
Just Venmo after Venmo, you know?
I got my residual check today and I was like, great, more things to cry on. Anyway, thank you all for coming. Friends at home, honestly, like now, so what are you doing tomorrow? Go to indoorboys.tv. Check it out. Do yourself a favor. Also, if you would like to support our show, and you don't have to financially, trust, we're going to give you so much fucking material. You're going to love it. Visit us at patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Tune in Wednesday night at 9 for the prom pajama party with me, Caitlin Cunanan, Izzy Michaela, Courtney Collins, and Anthony Norman. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And listen, no matter what, if you're feeling sad, that's okay. Feel sad. If you're feeling productive, feel productive. No matter what you're doing, take care of yourself. You're fucking nailing it. I love you all.
We love you, this. Josh.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Bye, my lovely.
Bye, guys.
Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dori Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Leave a rating. Leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive, and swallow you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. and there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.